to our sisters who work on quilting and other things for our missionary family. I happen to see some of the mail that comes in for our sisters. Some of it comes from South Africa, from Mrs. Monique, and it so happens that her brother is singing in this chorus tonight. And Mr. Elmore is Mrs. Monique's, Edna's brother. And it's amazing how small the world is, and it's certainly nice to have this time together. This morning we looked at a character study of Jonathan. Tonight we want to look at Joab. Joab, the general of David's army. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, and we want to begin our reading at verse 20, and then we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 2 and read a few verses from 1 Kings 2. 2 Samuel 3, verse 20 says, "So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him there came, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he hath sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. So when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers unto Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib. And he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Now we turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, we'll move on to verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace." It's an amazing thing. Here is Joab, who was with the right king. All his life does not go down to the grave in peace. And Abner, who was with the wrong king all his life, at the last moment, came to the right king, and David sent him away in peace. Now let's pray. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, having opened thy precious word, we ask you now to open our hearts. Give us something from yourself. Give us understanding, and as we look at this man who was the general of David's army, help us, O God, to examine our own souls in the light of eternity and in the light of the things of God. speak to us in this hour. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Joab was the son of Zeruiah, and Zeruiah was David's older sister. Zeruiah bore three sons, Joab, Asahel, and Abishai. These three men were exceptional when it came to war. However, David uses in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 39 the expression concerning the sons of Zeruiah. He says, the sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. Joab was a kind of a man you never want to cross. He believed that the way to up is up. But the way to up is not up. In scripture, the way to up is always down. The hymn writer was right when he wrote, down at the cross where my Savior died. And in the book of Philippians chapter 2, we read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who showed that the way to up was not up, but that the way to up is down. Joab didn't believe that. Joab believed that if you want to get ahead, you got to scratch and claw and step over anything or on anything necessary, other people if necessary. Joab was a man of great courage. Joab was a man of competence, believe it or not. You could depend upon him. But when you take a look at Joab's character, it leaves a bit to be desired. And it is this that we want to examine tonight from the light of the Word of God that we read. Alexander White, that great preacher who gave us some good books called Bible Characters, and he also gave us a good series on Bunyan's characters. If you're a reader of John Bunyan, and every Christian should read John Bunyan, Alexander White gave us a good series on Bunyan's characters. But this is what he had to say concerning David. He said, David was a man who was all heart, all passion, and all sensibility. Joab, on the other hand, was all self-will, all pride, and hard as a stone. We want to look at two things tonight concerning Joab. How Joab behaved himself, first of all. And then we want to look at how Joab betrayed himself. Two things. How he behaved himself first, how he betrayed himself, we want to look at second. On the surface, Joab seemed to have a real loyalty for David. And it's an amazing thing that our Lord Jesus, who was typified by David, for the greater David is our blessed Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And the place in the kingdom for the people who had contact with David depended upon their relationship with David. And beloved, your place in the kingdom of God is dependent upon your relationship with the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can get some insights from this passage and examine our own hearts as we move along. What kind of loyalty was it that Joab had for David? Well, first of all, it was a family loyalty. For David was his uncle. While David might have even been younger than Joab, maybe near the same age, but nevertheless, David was his uncle. And it all came to pass one day when God told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem and anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the king. And as Samuel went to the house of Jesse, and Jesse had his sons parade before him, there was Eliab. Eliab, the firstborn of Jesse, a strong, a handsome fellow. And Samuel was ready to pour the oil on him. But the Lord said, wait a minute, Samuel, you made a mistake before. You looked at King Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. And I had to disregard him. You made a mistake, for God seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God says, I'm looking at Eliab's heart. He's not the man. He had all his sons passed before him. Twice. And the Lord didn't indicate any one of them. Samuel must have been thinking God made a mistake. So he turns and he says to Jesse, are these all your boys? He said, no, we have another one. He's just a young fellow. He's our tending sheep. That's a good place to get a leader. For a leader should be a shepherd. So we had David come. And as soon as Samuel saw him, the Lord spoke to Samuel and he said, anoint him, this is the man. And I like to think of Jeruiah as she was there in the house of her father Jesse, and as she was listening through the lattice, and she saw what happened, she turned to her boys, and she said, the whole of the kingdom revolves around your loyalty to one man, to David. Your relationship to David is the thing that is most important in Israel. And how your relationship to him is how well you're going to do as a boy. And I believe there is a family loyalty there. But there's a second kind of a loyalty. There is a fundamental loyalty. You see, Joab could speak of David and he could act this way. David is a savior. David is a sovereign and David is sufficient. David is a savior. You see, he saved the nation when the whole of the army was in jeopardy because of one giant who came out of the camp of the Philistines. But David saved the day. And Joab could say, David is the Savior. But more than that, he could say, David is sovereign. For he knew that the holy anointing oil of God, through the faithful prophet Samuel, had been placed on his head. He knew that God had established his kingdom. And he knew that David had conquered all the neighboring kingdoms. And God had expanded and was blessing David, even in his years of wandering. God protected David. It was a fundamental loyalty. And beloved, when I think of this, I always think of the dangers and the delights of being born and reared in a Christian home. I don't know of anything better for any child than to be born and to be reared in a Christian home. A home where the Word of God is read. A home where the family gathers around and prays together and rejoices in the greatness of God and in the salvation of God. I don't know of anything better for any child. But while it's a tremendous blessing, may I remind you tonight that there are two great dangers about being reared in a Christian home. It has its dangers. Danger number one, hearing the Word of God from dad and mother continually and continual exhortations as to living. By the time you get to be a teenager, I've had all of this I want. And a lot of times, they turn away from that which they got at home. But then there's a second danger, and it's more subtle. It's a danger of hypocrisy. Knowing the right answers for the right people at the right time. Being raised in a Christian home, we can know just what people expect of us, and at the right time, we can put on the right face. Joab could do all of that. Joab looked out. He could say, David is the Savior. David is sovereign. And he could say David is sufficient. And while, beloved, I'm happy that I was born and reared in a Christian home, I also know that there are dangers connected with it. It's so easy to go through life learning answers by rote and knowing the right things to say because we've done it all our life. David is sufficient because everything was going well with the nation. But not only was it a family loyalty and not only was it a fundamental loyalty, you will find that it was a fighting loyalty. Joab is a kind of a fellow that put his life on the line for David. He really did. One day he heard the king say, anyone who takes a stronghold of the Jebusites will be general of the army. And the stronghold of the Jebusites was Jerusalem. Joab says, I'm going to take that. And when they drew near to the Jebusite stronghold, they on the wall cried out, oh, the blind and the lame can defend this stronghold against you. But Joab took it. And he became the general of the army. Oh, yeah. Joab captured Jerusalem, and it became the city of David. How he behaved himself. He behaved himself with an outward loyalty and left him a self-willed man doing as he pleased, not as the king pleased. Now let us notice quickly tonight how Joab betrayed himself. Whenever there's a crisis doesn't make a person. A crisis just reveals what's on the inside. That's what a crisis does. It doesn't make you. It just reveals what's on the inside. When you spill a bottle of milk, what do you get? You get milk. You turn over a bottle of ketchup, what do you get? You know. When you turn over a Christian, what do you get? I'll tell you what you should get. You should get Christ. There were three crises in the life of David, in the life of Joab, that brought Joab out to the front and revealed what was really on his heart. There were three rebellions. They're easy to remember. There's the Abner rebellion. There was the Absalom rebellion, and there was the Adonijah rebellion. Three easy to remember. Oh, there was the Abner rebellion. We read about it. For years, Abner and the descendants of Saul and those who made up Israel, they joined forces to try to keep David from being king. But Abner came and he made peace with David. And you know, for years I joined forces with the enemy to keep Christ from reigning in my life. For I was a sinner, I was an outsider to the grace of God. But the day came when I trusted Christ, and I came to know Him in a personal way. The Abner Rebellion. And during the Abner Rebellion, I'll say this. Joab disdained the mind of David. David sent Abner away in peace. Joab in hypocrisy called him back and gave him a sword under the fifth rib. That's the kind of a fellow Joab was. The crisis. When Joab was turned over and things didn't go the way he liked it, what did he do? He showed where his loyalties really were. They were not with the King David. They were with Joab. And in the Abner Rebellion, Joab disdained the mind of David. Joab betrayed Abner, and David never forgot it. But there's a second rebellion, the Absalom rebellion. And in the Absalom rebellion, Joab distressed the heart of David. In the Abner rebellion, he disdained the mind of David, but in the Absalom rebellion, he distressed the heart of David. For David gave a definite command. David wanted to go along into the battle, for his own son had rebelled against his father, and David loved Absalom. But they talked David out of going along. But David gave a command. He said, deal well with the boy. Don't hurt him. Give him another opportunity. He isn't saved yet. I want another opportunity to talk to Absalom. He isn't saved yet. But when Joab found Absalom hanging there in the oak tree, when the mule went under it, and Absalom was caught by his head, you know what Joab did? He went and he threw three darts through it. I'll put an end to this. He distressed the heart of David. And then when David mourned for his son, when he went up to the stairs and he cried out, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died instead of thee, O Absalom, my son. You know what Joab said? He said, shut up! You've been mourning long enough. Joab. To the nation, he looked so fundamental. But in reality, he distressed the very heart of David. Oh, friend. What a lesson. But then there's a third rebellion. There's the Adonijah rebellion. Remember, David is old now. And in the Adonijah rebellion, Joab disobeyed the will of David. In the one rebellion, it was the mind. In another, the heart, and not the will. Joab knew who was to be the next king. He knew it was to be Solomon. But what did he do? He went and he made Adonijah king instead. Why? Why did he do that? Well, he knew that he'd be the power behind the throne. He could tell Adonijah what to do and he'd have to do it. But he knew he couldn't do it to Solomon. He knew he couldn't do it to Solomon. The will. The will. Disobeyed the will of David. Our blessed Lord in the 14th chapter of John says, whosoever hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. He said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our Lord Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Very quickly, I'd like to ask you a question. What was really wrong with Joab? What was the real problem? We talk a lot today about the bottom line, don't we? What's the bottom line? That's what we usually say. Well, the bottom line with Joab was this. He had knowledge in the head, but nothing in the heart. The heart of Joab had never been changed. Joab was self-willed, and everything he did for self. David, on the other hand, what he did as one who was commissioned by God to lead the people of God. And the scripture says, in the ending of the 78th Psalm, he led them, and he fed them. Two things that a leader must do. He must lead and feed. David led them with the skillfulness of his hands, and he fed them with the integrity of his heart. There used to be a television program that I enjoyed. It was called Candid Camera. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Well, what they would do in Candid Camera, they would take these cameras somewhere and they would set up a situation and catch a person when they never knew it. Well, they took the cameras one time to an exclusive boys' school in the east, the northeast. And of course, they prepped these boys that they were coming in and they were going to be told what they were going to be. And they brought these fellas into a room, you know, and these young fellas were expecting to be told that they would be the president of the United States, or they'd be the president of the World Bank or something like that. And there was one young fellow they brought in there. You could tell he had good upbringing, well-groomed, well-dressed. And the man sat there with him, and he shuffled his papers around, and he said to this young fellow, as he looked at him, he said, "I've looked over your qualifications, young man, and you are qualified to be a shepherd."
"A what?"
He said, "Your qualifications are that of a shepherd." And boy, he just dropped. Isn't it amazing? The greatest men of the Bible were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." What does a shepherd do? It is said of David in the 78th Psalm, he guided them with the integrity of his heart, and he led them with the skillfulness of his hand. Joab, he was David's general. His name appears often in Scripture, but David's remark to Solomon was, "Don't let his hoar head go down in peace." David knew that his loyalty didn't mean everything. He had knowledge in the head, but he had nothing in the heart. In relation to our blessed Lord and in relation to Him, it's possible, friends, to have knowledge in the head and have nothing in the heart. And that is the curse of fundamentalism. And I'm a fundamentalist. Because a fundamentalist is something you believe. And you believe it firmly that it changes a life. But it's possible to know a lot of facts in the head and never have a changed heart. Joab was that kind of a man. And a crisis showed us how he betrayed himself. He despised the mind of David. He distressed the heart of David. And he disobeyed the will of David. May I ask you, what is your relationship to the mind of Christ? What is your relationship to the heart of Christ? What is your relationship to the will of Christ? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." 1 John chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Here's the key. Here's the key to it all. How do I know that I'm saved? "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And two verses later it says, "If we say that we're abiding in him, we should walk even as he walked." What is your relationship to David? That's most important. Most important. Or David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hymn in our hymn books. I think we should sing the third stanza only tonight. We could sing all four stanzas, but I think we'll just sing one, because to me, it expresses where I stand with Christ. 393, the third stanza. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Here's where we have peace with God. Joab never really had this. Everything about Joab was false. It was outward. And when you turned Joab over, what did you get? You never got Christ. You only got Joab. Oh, my friend. Beloved, how is it between you and the Lord? Let's sing together that great hymn. Let's stand together and sing just the third stanza.